Blog Talk Radio.
Live now in this time in 2000 and
15, we give you the grace of our grace. We give you the love of our love. We sacrifice according to your will. We do what we do to please you. We love you with all our hearts. We ask that you look now into our minds and open us up so that your Holy Spirit can guide our steps and show us the way. We give you all of the praise, God. We give you all of our love, all of who we are. We surrender to your will. And thank you once again, God, for taking us through this year, 2015, into it, and also throughout the rest of the year. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Once again, I want to talk about things that God laid on my heart. I preached this sermon, or preached this topic, subject, a couple of weeks ago. It's fruits of the Spirit. I want to put a little twist on it. I want to show it a different way. Kind of elaborate on how we see the fruits of the Spirit. But before I do that, I want to kind of set the stage for some things or to get a point across. And that point is that, you see, our relationship with God, it's more than just saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's more than just saying there's power in the name of Jesus. See, we all have a part to play. Judas had his part to play. Peter had his part to play. Paul had his part to play. Jesus had his part to play. We all have a part to play. And in that part, we have to take some responsibility for our actions. And we have to take that responsibility and not put it on the devil. We have to individually develop and grow and bring ourselves within check and apply discipline. As Flip Wilson used to say, and it was a joke when he was saying it, that the devil made me do it, but we do. We may not speak it that way, but people do feel like that day. They think the devil has such an influence, and he does have an influence, but the Bible says resist him and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And every time we say that, I can imagine the devil is laughing at us. And he's telling God, no, I never made one of them do anything. They live their own lives. I do not live their lives for them. I don't know why they're trying to put their weaknesses on me. And we have to stop doing that. And I know that we're going to be talking about fruits of the Spirit. As I said, I wanted to create an understanding about our part that we have to play. And no matter who you are, no matter what title, position you hold in the church or in the community or in politics, no matter who you are, you are subject to error. You're not perfect. And you have to take responsibility for your actions. You have to stop putting things on the devil and take responsibility for our own actions. Because, in fact, the devil can't make you do anything. So that was a joke Flip Wilson was speaking. The devil can't make us do it. But I want you to come with me now. I'm going to show how the Apostle Paul makes it perfectly clear that even in our attempt to serve God with all our heart, we are still subject to error, and they're none perfect, and we all have that imperfection, and we can't take that imperfection and make it seem as if that imperfection is the devil. No, that imperfection is something that we as individuals have to deal with. devil has his minions out there doing their little thing, whatever they can do. But we as adults, as human beings, we have to take responsibility. The world is not going to change until we change it. And the only way it will be changed is that we change. But first we have to understand our limitations. And this is why I want to go here before I get into the fruits of the Spirit. I want to go here and I want to talk about even the greatest among us, they have an imperfection. But the key to that thing is that you have to recognize it and you have to admit it. In Romans 7, 14 through 23, the apostle, he finds himself falling short. And he says in verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin." Now he's talking about himself. Whenever he uses "I," he's talking about himself. And as a matter of fact, going back to it's another subject, I won't go there, but when he uses "I," he's talking about himself. So he's identifying that the law is spiritual. The concept behind the law is a spiritual concept. It is placed in a physical structure to help develop spiritual character. So he's identifying that he realizes that the law is spiritual, but he's also identifying that he is flesh. And then in 15 he said, and we get people that quote this all the time, and he said, "For that which I do, I allow not." I'm doing something that I don't allow myself to do, but because of the flesh, and you see, the flesh can't be perfected. It's not going to be perfected. No matter who you are, how great you are, you still live in a body, you're still flesh, and the flesh and the spirit war daily. It's a consistent fight. It's continuous. Then he goes on to say, "For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Just basically admitting his humanity, that even though sometimes, no matter what he has planned in his own mind, he ends up maybe doing something incorrect. And I heard a man say once that if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Sometimes there are some strongholds. We have strongholds who we can't shake. And this is what Paul is talking about. This is what the apostle is saying. He say, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." There are some strongholds we just can't shake by ourselves. We need the Lord. We need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it does not matter who you are, how great your anointing is. There is a continuous struggle for your salvation. I wouldn't say that. I won't say for your salvation. It is for you to continue to walk into your salvation and not allow the devil to trick you out of it. There are some strongholds that we can't shake by ourselves. That's why it's not conducive to a healthy church, for a church that's trying to grow for its members, not to realize where they came from, not to realize that they're still in their own personal struggle, and to welcome the unchurched, to welcome people in. And as the show is titled Fruits of the Spirit, we'll get into how they do that with those truths. But I want to identify that we need to take responsibility. That's where I am right now, identifying that we need to take responsibility for our own individuality. And when I say individuality, I should have said our own individual imperfection. That's what I should have said. We need to know the Lord. We need a personal relationship with the Lord. We have to know more about God than just knowing the scriptures or just knowing the book. We have to know the Lord. We have to know the Lord. We have to have a personal relationship. We have to man up, or you have to woman up and identify your shortcomings within yourself. Because within you, there is a place that you can go where no lie can be told. When you know the truth, no matter what you say externally and how deceitful you are, or no matter what you tell yourself, the absolute truth dwells within you and you can't run from it. And that's the bottom line, Clay. That's where we need to man up there and understand that God, I can't do this alone. It's a stronghold. Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And we need to realize that's what he's trying to tell us. We have to man up. And we have to confess to ourselves, you know, what our shortcomings are. I did what I did because I did it. That's it. I did what I did because I did it. Now, why I did it? Because it has such a stronghold on me that I can't shake it. But I did it. And until we can start to control and discipline ourselves and not let the devil take responsibility, because he's not going to do it. He's telling God, see, they're lying on me now. I didn't do anything to them. They did that because they wanted to do it. And some things we get caught up in. There are drugs out there. There are people who manipulate you. Sometimes just life itself will beat you down so drastically that it turns you into something that you truly don't want to be, and you'll be doing that which you don't want to do, but you do, as Paul said. We need to understand that we did it. I am that I am, and Lord, I need your help. I want to point this out. You are not a human on a spiritual journey. You are spirit on a human journey. I want you to remember that. You are not a human on a spiritual journey. You are a spirit on a human journey. I am that I am. And Lord, I need your help. This thing that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. Then Paul said, if then I do that which I would not, if I do that thing that I'm trying to fight, that stronghold on me, I consent unto the law that is good. I recognize that I've done wrong, and I recognize that it's opposite to what the law is teaching and what the law is saying. Therefore, I'm actually consenting that the law is right, because I'm wrong, and I've identified that by my understanding of the law. I'm wrong, and I don't want to be. No matter how minute it is, no small the thing is. See, some people think they measure sin, but the Bible tells us that all sin stinks in the nostrils of God. There is no measurement of sin, and one sin is greater than another sin. And you might say, okay, murder is greater than telling a lie. No, it's sin, period. That's why Christ had to come, because the Bible speaks this to us. If not for God having mercy on us, even the very elect would not be able to live according to the very strict letter of the law. They wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't be able to do it. I guess they're going to start a break for me kind of soon. But as I was saying, I want you to understand. I want you to truly understand this. That you need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility to stop putting things on the devil. I did what I did because I did. I am that I am. Lord, I need your help. You are not a human on a spiritual journey. You are a spirit on a human journey. Well, let's continue on with Romans. If you just tune in, we're in Romans 7, chapter 7. We started with verse 14 through 23. We're on verse 16 now, and let's go back to verse 16. And Paul said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. As I said, when you recognize the concept of the true meaning and the depth of the law, you understand that the law is identifying your sin. It is identifying your incorrectness. So if you're consenting that the law is right, and yes, sin is wrong. I'm honest enough with myself to admit the law is right, and I'm wrong, basically. That's it. Romans 7:17 says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But sin that dwelleth in me is not possessed. No, this is Apostle Paul speaking. So we're not talking about possession. When he said the sin that dwelleth in me, he's talking about his flesh. He's talking about how, as a pastor, a friend of mine, a nephew, Pastor Timothy Work says, the flesh cannot be perfected. It is always going to be at odds with the spirit. You got yin, yang, soft, hard, day, night, heavy, light. There's this conflict that's going on continuously. And when we're honest with ourselves and identify the shortcomings that we have, the stronghold that we're dealing with, and stop putting them on the devil. And as I said, I wanted to deal with this, and I know I'm going to get into the fruits of the Spirit in a moment, but I wanted to deal with this and show that one of the greatest among us, other than Christ, Apostle Paul is responsible for almost 80%, maybe more, of the New Testament Bible. When he said in Romans 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It is my weakness, the flesh that I struggle with daily, and it causes me to make mistakes. It causes me to sin. And my sin puts me in agreement with the law. And I'm wrong because the law says I'm wrong, and because my sin is highlighting that wrong. We fall short. We all fall short. We are all sinners. Pastors, bishop, apostles, popes, we all do. So do not think that you live a perfect life in this flesh. You do not and cannot. The flesh cannot be perfected. Apostle Paul was identifying this, even though I had this extremist on the road to Damascus when the Lord Jesus appeared to me and said, why you kick against the pricks? Why are you going against that which is true? And living according to traditions and the concepts that men have put into the minds of others, you know the truth. So why are you doing it? But since you fail to realize it, I want to show you something that's going to convince you. But even with them being convinced, and even with them developing into such a tremendously powerful advocate of Christ and man of God, he made it clear. For the good that I would, I do not. Sometimes I don't do the right thing. And sometimes I do the wrong thing, and I don't want to, but I do. It just causes this flesh. And I need that. And I'm trying to make this point because I want to get this thing hammered in so that you understand the part that you play, the part that you play. We cannot afford as Christians to be in anyone's church looking down on anyone thinking that we have arrived, thinking that we have developed to such a high spiritual consciousness that, you know, we can speak down on people or judge them. That's not our job. The church is not here for judgment. It's for deliverance and salvation. And you need to remember that. And here's the first step in remembering that and understanding that what I'm trying to present to you tonight, that even though we have a call or an anointing on our lives, as Paul did. And I don't think there's too many walking around right now today who can say that they have a greater anointing on their life than Paul did. So even this great man of God, he stood up as a man and said, you know, for the good that I would, I do not, for the evil that I would not, that I do. Okay, just moving on. He said, and when we do wrong, it's not because we want it to, it's because we are flesh, and the flesh cannot be perfected. You got to hammer that home. The flesh cannot be perfected. And my nephew, Pastor Timothy Works, when he spoke this, that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. Boom, there, light came on. Actually, you know what? No matter how high you climb, no matter how high you reach, Tower of Babel, you're going to be still working your salvation out when God comes, when Christ returns, because the flesh, as long as you're in the flesh, it won't be perfected. So let's get it right. I need to hammer this in because I need you to understand before we move on that we need to take accountability. I'm saying take responsibility for your own weaknesses. Man up, woman up. In Romans 7 and 18, the scriptures say, for I know that in me, that in me, that is in his flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find it not. Wow. Paul, he exposes himself, but he is actually being honest with himself, to thine own self, be true, I should say. This is so strong. He said, I know that that in me. You see, a lot of us get to this point in our walk that we don't do any wrong because we're so anointed. Maybe I'm exaggerating that. Maybe people truly realize that, hey, that they're not perfect and they do wrong, but they don't want other people to know it, so they act like they're not. I don't know. But no one is perfect. You know, and Apostle Paul said it best. It's the flesh that dwelleth in me. I know it. I want to do right. It's in me to do right. But man, this thing is kicking my behind. This thing is kicking my behind. I know I need help. I can no longer put this on the devil. It's me. I need help, Lord, to handle this thing. And we can't, and we have to stop putting these things on the devil, because actually each and every one of us, we're responsible for our own individual development. Oh my God, but the fruits of the Spirit, against such there is no law. We can do no wrong if we live by the fruits of the Spirit. And we really have to first admit our weaknesses. When he's saying in verse 20, back to verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do, I'm doing wrong when I know it should not, and I shouldn't do it. I need help, Lord. In Psalms 121 and 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heavens and the earth. So he knew that he couldn't do it by himself. It's the flesh, it's the imperfection of who I am, the imperfection of the flesh. I need your help, Lord, to not only deal with this world and the people in it, but more so to deal with myself, because I know the flesh cannot be perfected. And I want to be sure that I express that the subject tonight is the fruits of the Spirit. But before we go there again, and I'm repeating this for those who are tuning in, for those who will listen to this in the archives, I'm repeating this so you'll see that I'm actually setting the stage for talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And to do that, I felt led by God to. He was one of the greatest men of God that I know, to highlight how he identified that we need to accept responsibility for it. And all I need is you, Lord. If we have a break coming.
One of my favorite songs. All I need.
man. All that I need is a Savior. Just to guide me. Show me the way. Hey, hey. All I need is you. Girl, if you don't mind tonight. All I need is Jesus. All I need is the Lord. Yeah. All I need, y'all, is a Savior. Just to guide me. Show me the way.
Show me the way.
Show me the way. When I turn to my right, evil is on every hand.
Nothing but trouble.
No joy and peace to be found. No. When I look to my left, oh my, confusion on every hand.
Nothing but trouble.
Taking over our land, yes it is.
Heaven, you know what?
Oh, my.
When trouble comes,
be that way sometimes.
And my prayers are through there.
Anybody know you make a way for him?
It's you.
Somebody says you like you got here all by yourself. Let me just tell you something. You don't own anything. God just lend it to you for a little while. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be grateful. You ought to just be grateful that, that God is there for you. All I need is you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All I need is you, Lord. And before we went on the break, this is what I was trying to establish, that we have to come to a realization of our imperfections and our shortcomings, and we need God. But that's all we need. We just need the Lord. And anything that comes after that is because he's drawn it to us, and it should be good for us. I mean, everything that looks good is not, and everything that glitters is not gold. Before we went on break, and let me thank any new listeners who are listening in on Facebook, Twitter, or Skype. Thank you for calling in. You're listening to Failure Is Not an Option. And I'm your host, Dr. James Thompson. And tonight, we're talking about fruits of the Spirit. But before we got deep into that, we were identifying how it is a must that as an individual we need to admit that. Well, I use that old thing Flip Wilson used to say, the comedian used to say, the devil made me do it. And I was trying to identify that, you know, every time we say that, the devil laughs, say, no, I didn't make you do nothing, you did that on your own. And to kind of emphasize that or highlight it, I went to Romans. I was speaking about what Apostle Paul was saying when he was identifying that thing that he wanted to do. Sometimes he didn't, but and sometimes the things he didn't want to do, sometimes he did. And he was indicating that imperfection. And I was indicating before we went to break that we all have a part to play in our salvation and our development with our relationship with God. We have a part to play, and one of that roles, the parts that we play, is that we, to our own self, be true, and admit, Lord, I need you. I think we left off on verse chapter 7, verse 21, and when Apostle Paul said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Even when I'm at my best, even when I'm doing good, the evil is there. Why is the evil there? Always with me. Why? Answer is because the flesh is there with you. You can't go anywhere. Flesh, spirit, you're one. Remember, I want you to remember who you are. I need you to remember that you are not a human being on a spiritual journey, but you're a spirit on a human journey. So, wow. What can I say? Everywhere you go, the flesh is there with you, so evil is present because there's nothing good in the flesh. Apostle Paul said it, and we've identified that the flesh cannot be perfected. I come to realize that the flesh and the spirit, they war daily, and the Bible has taught me that. And I know that most of you know that the flesh is ever present. This is what Paul was saying. He was saying, hey, you know, I come to realize that the flesh and the spirit war daily. The flesh is ever present. I can stumble in my thinking and my conduct and my actions at any given time because the flesh is always present and evil is always present. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Some of these things, these strongholds, I can't shake them myself. Now, in verse 22, Romans chapter 7, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." What is he saying? What is he saying? This I'm saying And here he's saying and identifying that it's the Spirit. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's my Spirit. Because it's about the Spirit. God is the Spirit. The only way that you can truly worship him is in the Spirit and in the truth. So he's identifying that this is an internal process. My Spirit says yes. But then he said in verse 23, in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, he said that I see another law in my members warring. I didn't use this word. He did. He says warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, identifying the flesh. We use the term members. He's talking about the flesh and the spirit. They're at war. The flesh and the spirit share a home. The flesh and the spirit share a home. And that home that they share is you. You're both flesh and spirit. And then conflict. But we have the ability to delight in the laws of God from the inward man. From the inside out, my spirit says that. Paul in 23 says, my flesh is weak, but all is not lost. The Lord has given us a way out. He gave us the fruits of the Spirit. Even though we struggle with ourselves, our flesh, we still have guidelines. Even as we struggle with the flesh, we have a blueprint for our living and conduct. And as we struggle with the flesh, we find out it is the fruits of the Spirit that gives us a way out and helps us overcome the strongholds of the flesh. Our way out is the fruits of the Spirit, our personal character. It is our personal character that we are children of God, and we should endeavor to display these fruits in our lives on a daily basis. Let's go to Galatians, and let's talk about these fruits now. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 and 26. Galatians 5, 22 and 26. And the word of God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then the word says, against such there is no law. Now, if we go back earlier, we heard Apostle Paul said, matter of fact, let me go back and read what he said about the law. He said that, let me find it here. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual. I am carnal, soul, under sin. We know that the law is spiritual, but against the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. Physical law or no spiritual law, because they are in compliance with the Spirit. Because they are what? The fruits of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. I have found that we as human beings overlook these fruits as if they are just words to be read. We read them all the time, read them in Galatians. The fruits of the Spirit. We hear people talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And we see them just like a fruit. We see it as a reward or for something that we've done, for some action, for some activity that we have done that deserves one. And that's all we look for, that reward. But we forget that the reward is salvation. The true reward is our salvation from the penalty of sin. We're washed in the blood of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The fruits of the Spirit, there are nine of them. Nine characteristics that God has given to us for us to display to the world as his children. The fruits of the Spirit. The physical manifestation of God in our daily lives. These fruits, they are the physical manifestation of God in our daily lives. The proof of our relationship, the proof, the very evidence of our relationship with God. And it's more than just talk. This is not about our big house, a new car, perfect lives, where no problem exists. No, this is displaying the new man or woman that God, that we have become. Matthew 7, verse 16. Matthew 7, verse 16 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Ye shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits." Wow. What are these fruits? What are these fruits? Can I talk about them for a moment? Love, joy, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And these, there are no law against them. There is no law. There is no law. And this is how we know them. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 16. Says, "You shall know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles. We should know them by their love, by their joy, by their peace, by their long suffering, by their gentleness, by their goodness, by their faith, by their meekness, by their temperance." I mentioned those two. Struggling. But standing through all the trouble that comes into our life. You know, church, talk is cheap. When things get hard, we lose all our spiritual bearing, all bets off. Hey, we're human. That's right. We are. And I want to share something with you right now. It may give you a better understanding. In Galatians 5 and 17, it says, "For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You cannot do the things. The flesh lusted after the spirit, and the spirit is right back there. You're contrary to one another. The word of God says that they're at odds all the time. But God has given us the fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that this is how we know each other. This is how we know I'm dealing with a true brother or a true sister, by their love, their joy, their peace, their long suffering, their gentleness, their goodness, their faith, their meekness, their temperance. Let's look at the fruits. Let's look at love. Let's look at love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And
one of my favorite.
And he, I guess it keeps trying to give me a break. I guess it's time for me to break, take a break in a moment or something. But let me finish the scripture. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Wow. God is love. That means love is supernatural, because God is love. And we mess it up all the time. We mess it up all the time. We relegated love to a physical thing. We relegated it to a physical thing. And love is a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. Love is supernatural because God is love. And that's just something. If the Bible says that God is love, then God is above the natural, then love itself is supernatural. And as I said, you relegated it to a physical thing. But love is spiritually born and spiritually applied. We made it a physical act. Now, this is a song, What's Love Got to Do With It? You remember, I continue Turner, used to sing this song, What's Love Got to Do With It? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? See, that was the devil speaking through a brokenhearted woman, speaking through someone that had gone through some tragedy, and because of their highlighted position as an entertainer, used it, used that broken heart to make love physical, or make love on our level. But God is love, so therefore love is not on our level. That's why we mess it up all the time. That's why we relegated it to something that is physical. God is love. The Bible says this in 1 John 4, beginning of verse 9. It says, and this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And in verse 10 it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his love to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And my show is going to be ended a little early tonight, so we'll continue with love and the fruits of the Spirit next week.
It's so important, people of God, to get into the very presence of God. Nothing else matters now. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I see his presence. I'm in his presence. While I'm there thanking him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, he will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Help me, somebody say it tonight.
Open the floodgates of
everyone that's listening to my show. As I said, the show will end a little early tonight. We'll be back next Monday, and we'll continue with the fruits of the Spirit. God bless you. God bless you.